You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Good morning. Our scripture reading is chapter 1 of Psalms, first 6 verses. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor setteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now, Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd add your blessing to the reading of this, your holy word, because we ask it in Christ's name for his sake. Amen.
I trust everyone had a merry, underline the word, merry, Christmas. And let me be the first to wish each and every one of you a happy new year, but not just happy, if happy is based on happenstance. My dad used to always change that to joyous or joyful, which is the fruit of the Spirit and which is based on your relationship with God and cannot and will never be moved. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the joy that fills our heart as we look back this past year and see your handiwork in our life. There have been trials. There have been testings. There have been moments, Father, when we have failed you. We're sorry. We thank you for the forgiveness that you've already given us in your Son because of his shed blood. There have been times when you've met every need that we had. There have been times when you've worked and we haven't seen your work until later. And we thank you for that. And Father, we pray that we might be cognizant of your work in our life, and that we, Father, might be a reflection of that to those about us so that they can see that work. And that work is your Son. And we thank you for these graces in his name and for his sake. Amen. I want to close out the year, and I want to talk about success. And I want to talk about what everybody wants, and that's the secret to success. But it's no secret. It's right here in the Word of God. So let's change the word, the secrets to success, to the rules to success. Now, the world has its rule for success. In fact, the world has two rules for success. The first rule is don't tell everything that you know. Now, I want you to turn over to to Joshua chapter 1. Our scripture today deals with two different types of people with two different ways and two different destinies. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. God has given us, in verse 2 of Psalms chapter 1, the rule for success. And that is to meditate in his word, to meditate in his word day and night. You want to be a blessed man? You want to be a blessed woman? You want to be happy for the rest of your life? Don't sing that song. It doesn't go there. It's not happiness. True happiness is found in the Proverbs, where God tells us that true happiness comes from wisdom and knowledge. The wisdom and knowledge of God. Joshua is an example of that. And God, in this book, gives Joshua the recipe for success. Verse 8. This book, the book of the law, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Now, I'm not going to embarrass you by asking you to raise your hands, but do you do that? And do you ever wonder why you're not successful? Why sometimes there's not happiness? Why you're not blessed? And yet you don't do this simple little thing that God's asked you to do. I am included in that you. Day and night. Why? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then Not before, but after. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. You want to be successful? From God's point of view, follow what this verse says and don't lose sight of it. Go back to Psalms, chapter 1. Two men, two ways, two destinies. There's the godly and the ungodly. Blessed is the man that's godly. Blessed is the man that's godly. That's what he's saying. Blessed is the man who does not follow after evildoers. Blessed is the man who does not listen to their counsel, who does not stand in their way, who does not sit in their seat. Verse 2, his delight is in what? The law of the Lord. It's not under the law. It's in the law. Do you see the difference? Under the law is a taskmaster that none of us can oblige and make happy. But when we're in the law of the Lord, oh, what a sweet refrain that is for the soul and the spirit of man. I think that God is in the blessing business. He begins in the blessing business. He began when He created Adam and Eve, and He blessed them, and He said, be fruitful and multiply. And in Genesis chapter 9, when Noah was called by God to build the ark, He blessed Noah and his family. And then when He began with Abraham, what did He do? He said, I will bless thee and make thee a blessing. God's in the blessing business. He wants to bless you. To be blessed by God in body, soul, and spirit, what more can a person ask for? And how does he receive that? How is he able to achieve that? How is he able to be successful? And not by the world standards. No way can that ever do what you want it to do, because the world standards are standards that are never satisfying. The killer bees, brains, brawn, and bucks. I know you ladies are thinking of beauty, but it's bucks, isn't it? I mean, bucks. That kind of success never is satisfying to the spirit and the soul of man. It never does become extinguished, that desire, like it is extinguished when the heart comes to God. Blessed is the man who delights not under the law, but in the law, and he meditates on it day and night. I think about the first way in verse 1. The counsel of the ungodly. Who is the ungodly? The ungodly is the one who doesn't know God, who has never received Him, who has rejected Him. He's the atheist who says in his heart, there is no God. What kind of man is that? He's the fool. And so you have about half of one verse that God devotes to atheism. And that's the end of it. God doesn't deal anymore with the atheist in the Scriptures. The atheist says there is no God, but what does God say in the beginning? God. He's there in the beginning. God has manifested Himself in that way. If you want to be successful for the rest of your life, then listen to what God has to say about the blessings that will come from Him. God's manifested Himself in His book. Not only does God manifested Himself in His book from the very beginning, but through every page of it, He has talked about Himself. It's not an issue with God whether or not God is. In fact, the first commandment doesn't even deal with it. Is there a God? He just says, you'll have no other gods before me. You know, I stop and think of that nation Israel, whom that commandment was given. Do they have any other gods before them today? I don't think so. I think without a doubt, without a doubt, there's only one God to the nation Israel. Doesn't mean they all worship Him. I think our poor country and the 200 plus years that we've been in existence, we've had that beacon of light. There's only one God. But I don't think we've learned that lesson. I don't think we've learned that lesson yet. And so even as Israel never learned the lesson, even after God brought them out of Egypt, even after He showed them through 10 unbelievable miracles and brought them in through the wilderness for 40 years and into the land of promise, I still think they had to learn that lesson. Because what was it? What one king after another king after another king after another king did? They set up other gods. They worshiped other gods. But to God, it's not an issue. There's just one God. He's not only manifested Himself in the Scriptures, He's shown Himself to us in the world all around about us. Scientists say they have discovered something, and yet they haven't. All they have is they have revealed what God has created. Do you think a scientist discovers something new any more than it was when the scientist discovered it, any more than, say, Columbus, when he discovered North America, that North America came into being? That was already there, wasn't it? The scientist doesn't discover anything. He just finds out what the mind of God really is. So not only do we see it in the handiwork around us and about us, and not only do we see it in the Scriptures, but we have it in our own hearts by faith. Faith comes from hearing and hearing what? The Word of God. And it begins to teach us, to test Him, to prove Him, and we begin to sing in our hearts, like that last song, "Sweetest name I know." But it's not so for the fool. It's not so for the ungodly, who says in his heart there is no God. He doesn't have that assurance. He doesn't have that blessed assurance. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. What did Rehoboam do? Rehoboam, you remember Rehoboam? Son of the smartest guy in the world. Who was the smartest guy in the world? Solomon. You remember Solomon? He was the son of King David. And Solomon, turn to 2 Chronicles. You're in Psalms, turn back a couple of pages, 2 Chronicles chapter 9. Solomon was so wise. Here in chapter 9, this is a wonderful chapter. If you get a chance, you ought to read it. It's about Sheba, the queen of Sheba. She came and visited Solomon. 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 1. And she was amazed by the wisdom and the wealth. Look at verse 5. And she said to the king, "It was a true report which I heard in my own land of thine acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not their words until I came and my eyes had seen it. And behold, the one half of the greatness of thy wisdom was not told me, for thou exceedest the fame that I heard." You know, when I read that, I thought, boy, isn't that the way it is when you come to God? When you first begin to hear about Him, you begin to try Him and test Him and prove Him, and you begin to see how wonderful He is. And you begin to think, like she thought, of Solomon. But I didn't think it was so, but it is true. It is true. And she says, happy, verse 7, happy are thy men, and happy are these thy servants. That's the word blessed. It's that word in Psalms chapter 1, blessed, is a plural word. And the Psalms start out with this idea, oh, how marvelous are all thy blessings. Blessed is the man. Go over to chapter 10. He had a son. And in verse 12, there was a day when the people came to him after Solomon had died and Rehoboam took over as king of Israel. And so Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam on the third day as the king appointed, saying, "Come again to me on the third day." And the king answered them roughly. What did he answer them? Well, they said, "How are you going to lead us? How are you going to rule over us?" And Rehoboam said, "Well, I'm not real sure. Let me get back with you. Come on back in 3 days and we'll find out." So he went to the old counselors of his father, Solomon, and he said, "How am I going to rule over him?" And they told him how he should rule over him. And he rejected their counsel. But he went to the council of the young men and he asked them, "How am I going to rule over this people?" Verse 13, the king answered them roughly, and King Rehoboam forsook the counsel of the old men. And he answered them after the advice of the young men, saying, "My father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to it. My father chastened you with whips, but I will chasten you with scorpions." A little letter to the editor today in the paper, if you read it, the guy talked about the the fact that over 55% of our budget in Oklahoma goes to the teaching segment of our society. And it's all of a sudden because of these low incoming of revenue, they're having to kick in an automatic tax. And he equated it to this verse, the addition of scorpions to us. Just a sidelight, you can go read it. It's an insightful little editorial or letter to the editor. But this is a man that we have as a picture of one who listens to the counsel of who? Ungodly. The one who doesn't believe in God. The one who doesn't, who has not learned to trust in Him. Not only that, turn over to Psalms, turn back to Psalms. Not only is the man blessed who doesn't listen to the counsel of the ungodly, and I don't care what media or fashion it comes to you, whether it's over the radio or the TV or in the newspaper or whatever you get it, if it's the counsel of the ungodly, don't listen to it. Don't walk in it. And see, that's a problem with man. See, there's a way that seems right to man, but it leads to destruction. But only to the man who forsakes the Word of God. What does God's Word say about him? He says He is the giver of what? Every good? I mean, stop and think about it. It's not a lie. It's not just a once in a while thing like a prediction or a prophecy. He is the giver of every good and perfect gift. There is no lie in Him as there is in the ungodly and the way of the ungodly. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. You know, the guy who doesn't follow their advice is a guy you kind of look at and you think, what a schmuck. Sherry, what was that word I used last week about the, not the schmuck, but about, I had that little acronym, what was it? I can't think of it either. I'm sorry to put you on the spot, but I can't think of it either. If it comes to you, just blurt it out at me because I want to share that. That's so important. I've had a lot of acronyms going on lately. I was teaching the other day about HOT. Our children need to be HOT. That, you know what that stands for? Honorable, obedient, and trusting. You know, you want to have HOT children? That's what you do. You want children that are honorable, obedient, and trusting. Okay. Has it come to you yet? No, it hadn't come to me either. Golly. They do, don't they? Oh. Nor stands in the way of sinners. Stands in the way of sinners. What a progression this is. The one who does not believe in God, what's the next thing he begins to do? He doesn't begin to order his life around the Word of God so that I'm worried about hid in my heart that I might not what? Sin against thee. He begins to sin. He lives in darkness. He's an evildoer. And he relishes in the idea of doing evil. He's not pricked in his conscience because his conscience is slowly becoming seared. What has this got to do with me? Well, the admonition or the reproof is here in the first verse. This is what God has reproofed us with. He's wanting us to realize that our ways are not His ways unless our ways conform to His ways. And the only way our ways can conform to His ways is in verse 2. Do you meditate in this law day and night? Do you delight in what He has to say? Is it your thirst and your hunger every morning when you wake up? Do you feel famished when you miss out on a morning in the Word of God or a day in the Word of God? But if you miss out on the morning in the Word of God, how do you have anything to meditate upon during the day and in the night? And that's where the challenge is. God doesn't ask much of us, does He? Well, oh, how much we ask of Him, and yet we bellyache when we don't get that. But what a progression. The ungodly leads to sinning. And the sinner has a way. And the way of the sinner is first exposed in who? Cain. Jude talks about the way of Cain. And I went back and I looked at the way of Cain. Cain is a natural man who's not devoid of religion, but he has human religion. He has his religion. The natural religion that comes to man, that there is a God, and so I'll worship him, and I'll worship him in any way that I want to. But yet when he is tested with the truth of God, what's the first thing that came upon his face? His countenance changed and he became what? Angry. They get angry with it. They don't like the truth of God. They don't like to be exposed to the light. They love their darkness and they don't want people interfering with their darkness. The way of Cain. That's a great story because even in the way of Cain, God is still gracious because Cain said, "Oh, anyone who sees my face will slay me." God said, "Nobody slays him." Think about that. Blessed is a man. See, God is still benevolent. Some may think, he'd be better off if he were slain. I've thought that about a few people in my past. I've changed. Maybe. Just perchance. Just perchance. I remember one time, did I share this with you before? I remember one time I prayed when Mac was teaching and he let me open up, and I prayed that even maybe the evil one might come to him. What a gentle teacher Mac was sometimes. He got me aside after church, and he said, "We've read the book. We know he doesn't come to him." Oh, good point. Sorry I said that. My benevolence was overextending. Rebuke a wise man, and he says, "Thank you." Rebuke a fool, and he keeps on in his foolish ways. Mac's right. We've read the book. We know what the book says. We don't understand all of it. Nobody's got a corner on that except the one who wrote it. Oh, how much there is for us to learn. Don't stand in the way. Don't try to worship him in your own way or the way of man or the way that men say you ought to worship him. Don't waste your time trying to follow that in whatever form or fashion it comes, whether it comes over the bunny or the claws. Worship him. And look at the third. Blessed is a man that, what? Sits not in the seat of the scornful. The progression continues. The progression continues. The ungodly who believe not in God begin to sin, and then their sin leads them to boldness when they begin to deny the one true God. They've gotten their degree in the college of evil, and their degree is in vice. And they've gone on and they've gotten a doctorate in damnation, and now they have a master and they're looked upon as masters of idolatry. But not so with the godly. Why? Verse 2. The godly delight in the law of the Lord. The scorner sits in the seat and he, you believe that? No way. That's not true. I mean, do you think the world was made in 6 days? Do you think all those plagues that hit Egypt and freed up the Hebrews is not a myth? Surely you don't believe in a resurrection. Guy died on the cross. He's dead. You know, the scorner, you don't ever rebuke the scorner. The Proverbs teaches don't rebuke the scorner. The scorner won't listen. The scorner won't listen to you if you try to rebuke him. The scorner, let me read you a couple of verses I pulled off. In Proverbs chapter 1, "How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge?" Proverbs chapter 9, "He that reproves a scorner, reprove him not, lest he hate thee." "He that reproves a scorner gets to himself shame." Proverbs 13, "A wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scorner hears not rebuke. Proverbs 22, cast out the scorner and contention shall go out. Don't lose it here. I mean, this is when he starts getting serious about it. Chapter 24, the thought of foolishness is sin and the scorner is an abomination to men. Do you see kind of a progression here? He's not just someone you don't want to mess with. He's someone you don't even want around because there is a condemnation on him. That's the progression from the ungodly to the sinner to the scornful. The scornful is a man or woman who's in outright defiance against God. In Isaiah chapter 29, the terrible one is brought to naught and the scorner is consumed and all that watch for iniquity are cut off. That's the end results of the scorner. See that here in chapter 1 of Psalms, verse 5. The ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. Now, stop there a minute and think about that. Is that you? Is that me? You bet. Right on. I'm there. Count on it. But notice the first part. The Lord knows the way. Oh, when I come before Him and I know He sees who I am and I begin to think about that. Oh, what a foothold the devil can get because I'm not worthy. But wait a minute. The Word of God already told me that. There's none righteous. None. None of us are. Not one. There's none who understands. There's none who seeks Him. Only by the goodness and the grace of God do we come to Him. And so when I recognize that He knows who I am, and not only does He know who I am, He's provided for that in His Son. Then I begin to rejoice. I begin to recognize that, yes, the wages of sin of death are death, but what? The gift of God is eternal life. Only by this Word do I know that. Only by what it teaches can I rest assured of that. So, what is the way of the ungodly? Finish the verse. The way of the ungodly shall perish. The secret to success is to recognize the reproof of God. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't stand in the way of sinners. I always thought that meant get out of their way. And it does. Get out of their way. But I always used to think that meant don't hang around them, you know, after school or after work or after whatever. Don't stand in their way and don't sit in their seat. How do you do that? How am I able to receive these blessings? How am I able to enjoy the benefits of God? Well, look over at chapter 32. The first thing is to remember the Savior. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Therefore, there is no condemnation now to those that are in Christ Jesus. None. None. Verse 2, blessed now is the man unto whom the Lord imputes not iniquity. What has He imputed unto you? The righteousness of Christ. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputes not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. God has washed you in the blood of His dear Son. He's made you as white as the driven snow. To shout that from the rooftop is not pride. to praise Him and to sing His glory. It's not any different than that song that we sang this morning. That what was that first song? I need a Savior. There, in times like these, there's the two things. You remember in that verse? The Savior and the Bible. In times like these, do you have them? Be very sure. And at the third verse, I am very sure that I have those things. And I know what they say, and I know what's been done for me. You want to have a blessed year this year? This coming year? You want to, no matter how tough it is and how difficult the times are, and we've suffered through some tough times this last year. You have, I have, we've all experienced things that we wish we didn't have to go through. I don't know if they're as bad as the things that we've suffered when we've denied God and fallen on our face. But He hasn't denied us. He's not denied you. There's another one in chapter 42 of Psalms, verse 1. I think the ladies played that this morning. As the deer panteth after the water, so pants my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before Him? There'll be a day. There'll be a day when everyone does. Now the judgment that we see, go back to Psalms chapter 1, the judgment that we see presented here is not the great white throne judgment. Verse 5, the ungodly shall not stand in judgment. They'll not be at the Bema seat. We all shall come before that, before Christ, to receive what we've done. But these guys and gals come before the great white throne. And their end is to perish, to be lost forever and ever. The psalmist says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him. Trust in Him. How do you trust in Him? Verse 2. You want to be successful? Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Take this word. Eat it up. Drink it up. Make it as much a part of your life as the air you breathe. Make it as much a part of your life as the thoughts that you think. And you can say, blessed am I, O Lord. Blessed is the man that walks not in the way of the ungodly, or the counsel of the ungodly, or the way of the sinner, or sits in the seat of the scornful. It will keep you, and it will protect you, and it will preserve you. And whatever the devil, the adversary, the enemy will throw against you, you'll be able to stand. God's given us those blessings in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath what? Blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, in Christ. It has not only an impact in the world today, but it has an impact in that which is to come. Not only in the temporal, but in the spiritual. It not only is wisdom for now, but also in the ages to come. It's not something that we just look at for a future event. It's a daily life. It's a daily joy. If you follow this prescription, you won't have to worry about rule number two from the world's point of view. Do you remember what I said? The world has its rules for success. It has two of them. Rule number one, don't tell everything that you know. That's why the world doesn't want to tell you the truth about God. They don't want you to know about rule number two. Today, God has told you about rule number two. To love Him with body, soul, and spirit. to meditate in His law day and night. And not only meditate in it, but the first part is to what? Delight in it. I keep coming back to that and hitting it. And it's something you need to really get a hold of, and I need to get a hold of. People who claim the name of Christ, if they would take this prescription or this recipe for success, blessed are they. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that the man that makes the Lord his trust, You say, is blessed. And so may each of us recognize the need that we have to make You our trust, to put our whole heart into every endeavor that You have established that we should do. We have been created, You tell us, unto good works which You before ordained that we should walk in. So, Father, may we walk in those good works and not in the way that seems right unto man, but the way that leads into eternal life. Bless each family here. Bless each person that hears this, that they might be enriched by it, that they might turn to the Word and they might study it, and they might become one of those who delights and meditates in it continually. Father, this is my prayer for us for this next year. And I thank You, Father, as You meet those needs in Christ Jesus. We pray this in His name. Amen. You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.